I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball. Yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raised in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
I'm ready, and I think the country is ready for supporting an openly gay basketball player.
Can you believe it hasn't happened before you?
That's kind of mind-boggling. I never set out to be the first, and it's, you're sort of waiting around for somebody else to, you know, raise their hand, and, you know, I'm ready to raise my hand, but, you know, you still look around like, okay, come on, guys.
Phil Jackson says he's never met a gay player.
Welcome to the Tony Sands Show, and as you heard that opening, you heard Jason Collins talk about coming out and his gay experience in the NBA. And as you heard my opening song, it talks about so much hatred in the world, stereotypes in the world. Is America ready for gay athletes in what they consider their manly sports? Football, basketball, baseball, and hockey. Are we ready to take on a gay athlete in a male predominantly sport, such as the great four sports that I talked about? We're going to get more into those great topics. Collins, is it okay to be gay in a man's world? We're going to talk some draft talk later on in the show. We're going to also talk about a topic that is close to me because I'm finding a trend each and every year that takes place when it comes down to the NFL draft. That's right, I said, when it comes down to the NFL draft, weeks building up, 2 weeks into it, probably pretty much after the combine and leading into that exciting weekend for young men, the NFL draft, there always is a bit of controversy that follows, rather it be the scouting combine or the NFL draft. And it always centers around the quarterback position. But within the last 3 to 4 years, it has centered around quarterbacks of national recognition. You look at your RG3s. You look at your Cam Newtons. This year's topic centers around Geno Smith, quarterback, West Virginia, a South Florida native that has strong roots, has a coach, Damian Cogdale, that has taught this young man, along with his families, strong, true discipline, and how you act when you are away from your coach or away from your family. But there are some things that swirled around this NFL draft weekend that some are saying could have led to the falling in the draft of Geno Smith. Is this criticism right? Is this criticism too overblown? Because as we get later in the show, in the second half of this show, we're going to get deep into that topic. We're going to get deep into that topic because I think it's a topic that we must discuss. Because as I get deep into it, and as my research department was handling this topic, they brought up interesting topics about other quarterbacks that have caused even more stir, more criticism, more debate than anything of RG3. Anything of Geno Smith, anything of Cam Newton. These guys have caused major controversy, major, major controversy in the NFL draft. And it blows my mind that we are here on this day after the draft talking about Geno Smith and the things that took place in this draft. When you talk about he's out at the draft weekend and he's texting on his phone, he's not paying attention to coaches, he's not interested in meeting coaches, he's off in a corner by himself, and that is the topic of discussion that will make a one drop. We're going to get deep into those topics here on the Tony Sands Show as we go to a commercial. I want to play an audio for you. Then we're going to go into a commercial, and then I'm bringing back my main man, Mr. Bibbs, as we got some interesting topics that broke today with the Dallas Cowboys here on the Tony Sands Show. Stay tuned for that.
Yeah, and my main point I was trying to make is that, just what you said, tolerance. People, Christians, when they speak out, or to be honest, anybody who just says that, you know what, I don't agree with that lifestyle, they're called bigots and ignorant, and I mean, I've been called all sorts of things on Twitter over this situation, and that's intolerant. I mean, if the other side was saying that about Jason Collins and people like that, we would be called intolerant, you know, but I don't see that happening for the most part. Obviously, a few people have done that, but yeah, so I just think, and again, as I said on the show, talking to a lot of Christians or just guys in the league who may, you know, nobody's not going to accept Jason as a teammate or anybody who comes out as openly gay. There's no problem with that at all. But they don't want to be viewed as, you know, I have to change my beliefs. You know, the beliefs that have been based on a religion for 2,000 years and thousands of years before that in Judaism. You know, no, I'm not going to do that. And I'm not going to ostracize this guy. I'm not going to alienate him. I'm not going to discriminate against him. But I'm not going to change my beliefs. And because of that, you're viewed as intolerant.
If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now.
We're back here on the Tony Sands Show, and we're talking tolerance to accept when one say that he is gay in the sports world and another man comes out and say that he does not believe in being gay. He does not believe in it. He believes in the Bible. He is a Christian and believe that a man should marry a woman and only have sex. And if you heard that topic, it blew my mind because people jumped over Mike Wallace, jumped all over Mike Wallace in this debate when Mike Wallace said he don't understand with all the beautiful women that are out here in this world, how can a man love another man? Now, joining us here on the Tony Sands Show, I have my main man that comes on each and every week, Mr. Bills from Dallas, Texas. What's going on, Mr. B? What's happening, man?
Oh, man, not too much, Tony. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing pretty good, man. The sports world has been turned, as I say, inside out, upside down, round and around this week with Jason Collins coming out saying that he is gay. What has been your views and what has been swirling around out in Dallas about this topic that you can bring to our listeners here on the Tony Sands Show?
I think it's pretty much the same. We view it the same as everybody else in the world today. You know, Texas is a very conservative state. And, you know, we kind of view homosexuality, I wouldn't categorize myself as those people when I say we, but Texas people in general kind of turn their nose up at homosexuality. And, I mean, just like everybody else, you have people that, you know, that are okay with it, and you have some people that are not okay with it. Me personally, I personally don't have a problem with it. To each his own. I'm not going to judge him on his own personal preferences. If he wants to be with a man, then that's what he wants to do. I wouldn't, you know, that's not how I get down. But, you know, if that's what he wants to do, then that's what he wants to do. I grew up a certain way. I grew up a Christian, and, you know, we were taught that that was wrong. You know, that man should be with a woman, and a woman should be with a man, not man to man and woman to woman. So, you know, I just go with what I've learned in my own cultural values. But go ahead.
No, you finish. Finish the topic. Finish.
Oh, I said, well, as a state in general, I would see more people probably sway more to him being, you know, on the wrong side of the fence than more so than the right side.
Now, you said the wrong and the right side. You're hearing so many people like Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Dwayne Wade. So many people are coming out and saying, hey, you know, to each his own, we would not have a problem with sharing our locker room with Jason Collins. Do you think this is something that they're just saying for the media, for the political part, and then behind closed doors, they're wondering if this guy was really in their locker room, would this guy be looking at them? Because I think that's the whole thing. The whole topic about this is the male locker room. Because when you're out on the field and when you're on the court, you really don't think about if a guy's gay, if a guy's black, if a guy's white. That doesn't make a difference to you. But the one thing that makes a difference to you, when you are in that locker room and the loud noise of an arena is down to a roar and you're in your locker room and you're changing. And in men's locker rooms, people that are listening that have never been in a male's locker room, we tend to walk around in our birthday suit. People, we tend to walk around in our birthday suit. It's just a part of that male culture. Now, all of a sudden, we got a guy that openly stated that he's gay. Do we now change the way we go in the shower? Do we go in the shower with our pants on and we take showers because we're scared and afraid that this guy will look at us? I'm having a hard time grasping that, because I know I probably played with some gay guys and never knew it. But it, you know, what I didn't know, it almost reminded me of the Army. The don't tell. You don't tell, right. You have no problems. You tell, you have problems. You got to get kicked out. And it reminds me of that topic. Is America ready for this type of male in a male dominant sport, a masculine dominant sport? Do you think America is ready for that to come across into football, baseball, where there are more males involved than basketball?
Like you said, it's a real tough topic to grasp, because, you know, like I played football and I played a couple different sports throughout high school and one in college, and I'm pretty sure I've been around a couple of homosexual men in that, during the process of me playing, but I never really thought about it in that sense. But now that it's become such a big national media frenzy, you know, you think about it more, like, well, I wonder how many guys were probably, you know, homosexual, were they, you know, looking at you a certain way, you know, and like you said about Kobe and them, do they think that, you know, they have no problem with sharing the locker room? But I really don't. I think they're saying that, I guess, for their own personal image, so they won't be looked upon as, like, you know, maybe a gay basher, or, you know, looked upon as somebody that despises the gay community. So, of course, they're going to use that as a great PR thing, you know, but in the back of their head, I honestly think they probably, you know, might be a little uncomfortable. But as far as, you know, society, you know, like you said, with the Army, you don't tell, you have no problems. And if the world... is the world coming to a point where it's accepted? It's definitely becoming more accepted in society in general, but as far as the sports world, with it being so masculine as far as football, baseball, basketball, I really don't know if it will ever be accepted like it will be accepted in society in general. I really don't know about that. I personally don't think so. Just with it being so masculine, you know, and it's supposed to be such a dominant, a man dominant sport, you know, muscles and, you know, strength is a big factor in it. And someone being, you know, homosexual, it kind of takes away his masculinity, you know, and you kind of look at that person a little different.
Now you brought up the word masculinity, because I wanted to go into this topic, because I had my research department to do me some research on what we consider the genes that are passed on from our parents that make up who we are. You know, there is, the X and the Y chromosome. And it was some interesting things that came out that my research department found when we dug into this. One headline: mom's genetics could produce gay son. And it went on in this article to say mother genes could affect the sexual orientation of her son.
Really?
And this is what I'm looking at in Human Genetics Journal. And it says the finding details in February issue of the Journal of Human Genetics added fuel to the debate of a long time topic: gay genes might exist. And it went on to say that possibly a mother can pass on this X gene to their son. And it brought up interesting topic to me, because I'm looking at what they consider this X chromosome in science that is passed on. And scientists found that almost one-fourth of mothers who had more than one gay son preceded the X chromosome in their bodies in the same way. Normally, when randomly processed chromosomes in one of two ways, half go one way and half go the other. And it pretty much is stating about this X chromosome that can be passed on by a mother to their son. And it went on. I mean, you really got to be a rocket scientist to understand this X and Y chromosome. But when I see there's a possibility of what this thing's saying is that, you know, this chromosome can be passed on, I wonder how much do you really, really, really believe that this can take place? It's amazing. I would tell people to sit down and do some research on this topic. You know, just sit down. And I know Hines Ward, as we spoke, Hines Ward came out earlier in the week that and stated that he don't know if America is truly ready for this in football. Basketball is a little smaller, as he stated. Football, there's more guys in the locker room. But let's listen to, I want to get deeper and listen a little bit more into what Jason Collins had to say. We're going to play this audio. When he first came out, and I want people to listen deeply to what this young man said. Because after this, I'm going to tell you about an interview that I had this week. And I talked to a guy that went through what Jason Collins went through. And I talked to this guy personally. But let's listen to this audio, and I'll get back after this and let you hear what I talked with this young man about. And we're gonna play that audio, guys. My engineer is gonna, he's loading that audio up, and we're gonna play that audio for you and let you guys hear what Jason Collins truly stated when he was talking about how he come in, how he was going to come, how he came out. And now you got to understand, Jason Collins and Bibbs, you understand this. Jason Collins also is a free agent. Now, how much do you think, Bibbs, that had to play in him coming out and not coming out?
With him being a free agent and then him coming out right now, I kind of think it might take a hit on his future as far as being an NBA basketball player. Only time will tell. You know, if he's re-signed or picked up by another team, you know, then maybe the world or the sports world is ready for, you know, the gay athlete per se. But if he's not picked up, then now you have another topic. Well, why wasn't he picked up, or why wasn't he re-signed or signed with a new team? Is it because he's a homosexual? You know, that's going to bring up more questions. And like I
Correct.
Said, but we only can find out when the time comes right now, you know. So I guess we just have to wait and see.
Now, does that put more pressure on the NBA to sign this guy, because the NBA don't want people coming outside of their arenas picking him if this guy is not signed? Does that put more pressure on David Stern to say, hey, somebody's got to sign this guy? And, you know, do you think that put pressure on him?
Yeah, I definitely think it does in some sense, you know, because I'm pretty sure we have the NBA has gay gay fans, you know, that watch the NBA game every day.
Correct.
Probably going to be watching the NBA game that's going on right now, you know. And then if this guy's unable to, you know, get a new contract, signed with a new team, and then you know they're going to think that off top. Well, he's not getting signed because he's gay, you know. And he's not the greatest player to me personally. You know?
Exactly. So now he might be smart. Now this might be a smart move in his free agency contract. If I come out and say, okay, right now, you know, hey, I am gay, I want to get this off my back in my negotiating year, does that put the pressure on the NBA? I think he has put a little bit of a handcuff on them. But we're going to listen to this audio because, you know, my engineer has it ready. And we're going to listen to this audio of when Jason Collins came out. And then we're going to get back into, as I told you, I want to get a little bit into Bibbs. I had a chance to talk with the young man that is actively playing sports right now, actively playing basketball, and he's living the life that Jason Collins lived. But let's listen to this first.
You always knew you were gay.
Yeah, it's. I sort of describe it as you know that the sky is blue, but you keep telling yourself that it's red.
So you fought it.
Yes, in the beginning. I think they call it like the 12 steps. You know, you go through anger, denial, and all, you know, it's just... But when you finally get to that point of acceptance, there's nothing more beautiful. And just allowing yourself to, you know, really be happy and be comfortable in your own skin.
So you send this thunderbolt out into the world.
Yeah.
12 hours later, how does it feel?
It's incredible. Just try to live an honest, genuine life, and next thing you know, you have the president calling you.
And, what did he say?
He was incredibly supportive, and he was proud of me, and said that this not only affected my life, but others going forward.
Martina Navratilova said this is going to save some kids' lives.
You know, I look at her as one of my heroes. Dignity, the cost that she's lived her life and all that she's achieved in her career. She is my role model. Hopefully, going forward, I can be someone else's role model.
What do you say to the 12-year-old boy who's out there practicing right now, wants to be a pro ball player, and happens to be gay?
It doesn't matter that you're gay, but the key thing is that it's about basketball.
And as he said, the key thing should be about that you want to play basketball and that you love basketball. Now, I'm going to tell you, Bibbs, I had an opportunity to speak with the young man earlier this week when we decided that we were going to tap on this topic. And this young man has lived this same life. And I got in detail as we broke down some walls with this young man. Now, this young man in the state that he was in, that he lived in, this guy was he's 6'5". 200-something pounds. He was a two-time all-county player. He was an all-state player. And now is presently playing at the collegiate level, and he's playing basketball. But now, when I talked to this young man, it was interesting because this young man has been living, as we would call, as Colin said, the sky is red and is really blue, that type of lifestyle. As Collins also had a girlfriend to hide his gayness from men in the world, he had a girlfriend that he, you know, pretty much was going to get married to, but called it off. He was married to I think it was an NBA young lady. This young man here is also still living that life. He has a female he's dating at this present time. And as I'm talking to him, this young man, like you say, he has, you know, have had these tendencies for a while. And it blew my mind because the one thing that blew my mind and it was that he still has a girlfriend at this time. Do you think that has a lot to do that Jason Collins lived that life so long that he got caught up in it and that he didn't want the guys to know? And how many other guys do you think have girlfriends but really, really, truly, in the sports world, don't want nothing to do with the girl, but is scared to come out because of what may be thought of them when they truly come out the closet. How much do you think that goes on in the sports world?
I really don't know any numbers, because they, like you said, they haven't really came out. Like, we really don't know, but I can guarantee you it goes on quite a bit. You know, there's probably plenty of athletes that, you know, basically are hiding their sexuality by just dating a woman just for the looks, you know, because that's what's supposed to be right. I'm a man, I'm supposed to date a woman, and that's what looks good to everyone else. But deep down inside, they know that they're homosexual. And they just haven't come to the, haven't got enough strength to come out, like you said, Jason Collins did, and say that they're homosexual. You know, they don't want to get looked upon as, you know, bad person or anything.
Correct.
But like you said, I think that there's a lot of men out there that are doing that, in particular, like dating a woman, just to hide the fact that they're homosexual to the rest of the world, to their families, you know, to their friends, anybody, you know, just so they won't get looked upon as the bad person.
Exactly. Correct. And that's, I think, the one thing about this, and when you talk about that you're dating a female because you don't want to come out the closet, you don't want people to ostracize you, you don't want people to call your names, and I'm not here to judge anyone because, you know, that's the decision that person make, and they got to deal with that with God themselves. And, you know, it's just unfortunate that when you get caught up in that tangle, in that web, and that society has given you that you can't come out. Now, how much does that start affecting someone else? Because when I talked to this young man, and one reason that I wouldn't bring this young man on, because there was a significant other involved in this. And my biggest thing was that I didn't want to bring this guy on. You really, truly didn't want to. You was in that dilemma. You got caught up in this whole thing with Jason Collins, but you were still dating a woman. I didn't want that. Now, if I was any type of journalist, I would have said, okay, I'm going to take this because I got a big story. But I didn't never want to be looked at as that some has come down the pike and all of a sudden somebody's hurt. That's not the type of journalist that I am. That's not the type of media person that I would ever want to be. But we know that it is going on. But I'm going to tell you, now, as you know, Steve Broussard has been getting smashed.
Chris Broussard.
Yeah, Chris has been getting smashed this week on some of the comments that he made about this topic. But he was only, and as I tell people, he was only stating his beliefs.
Right.
He was only stating his beliefs in this topic. And it seemed like people killed him because of it. They killed him because of it. He stated he's been getting big time tweets on his Twitter phone, people talking about this and about that. What do you think about some of the comments that Chris Broussard made, and do you feel that he should be getting criticized because of his beliefs?
I have no problem with the comments that Chris made. I mean, he grew up a certain way. His cultural values are a certain way, and he believes in a certain way that you should live your life. And he believes that man should be with the woman and the woman should be with the man, not vice versa. So I have no problem with what he said. It's just that everybody in the world have their own different opinions on this situation, and some people are going to think differently about what he said. Some people are going to think negatively about what he said. Some people are going to think positively about what he said. And at the end of the day, it's his opinion, and all he can do is go with what he believes in. Don't believe in what he believes in because of what the world's going to think about what he said. Just like Jason Collins,
exactly.
Tell him to go out and just continue to live a lie because he's afraid of what the world's going to say, how the world's going to react to it. You just have to just go with what you believe in. If you believe that it's okay to be a homosexual,
that's what he has to deal with. Yeah, and that's what he has to deal with. With the God that he served, he has to deal with that. But let's listen to that people, for those that haven't heard the comments that Chris Broussard made earlier in the week when this story broke, ESPN brought him on the round table, and they brought him out to talk about his views on this topic. But then it got a little deeper because he was debating back with a friend of his that was gay, that was a reporter, and that friend gave his opinion. And at that time, Chris Broussard felt that it was okay for him to state his beliefs also. So let's my engineer got this ready. Let's listen to this piece, and you give me your opinion. You can call here on the Tony Sands Show. You can call 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. But let's listen to this piece here.
In his article, Jason, that he is a Christian as well. So what's your take on that?
Personally, I don't believe that you can live an openly homosexual lifestyle or an openly premarital sex between heterosexuals. If you're openly living that type of lifestyle, then the Bible says you know them by their fruits. It says that, you know, that's a sin. And if you're openly living in unrepentant sin, whatever it may be, not just homosexuality, adultery, fornication, premarital sex between heterosexuals, whatever it may be, I believe that's walking in open rebellion to God and to Jesus Christ. So I would not characterize that person as a Christian because I don't think the Bible would characterize him as a Christian.
LZ, your response?
Well, my response is...
And as you heard there, Chris Broussard pretty much was stating, he stated his beliefs, Bibbs, and he stated from a standpoint of just sin, period. It's sin to, you know, to do this, to have sex outside of marriage, anything. He stated, so he did not just home in on homosexuality. And I think that's the only thing that a lot of people wanted to hear was just that he stated that homosexuality is a sin. And that's coming from his beliefs. And I truly believe that this man has that right to his beliefs. Now, why are they castrating him on his beliefs? That's unbelievable, because on one hand, you're saying that you shouldn't castrate Jason Collins because of what he feels and believes, but then you go at another man because he states what he's believing. There's some type of misconstrued perception of one's belief, and I think that's got to be addressed, because Mike Wallace, as you know, Mike Wallace also made a comment early in the week when this broke, and he stated, as I stated earlier in the show, that he don't understand how a man can date a man with all these beautiful women out here. And I heard on Sports Talk Radio today and throughout the week what they were calling Mike Wallace's comments ignorant. But I don't think they're ignorant. I think until we come to the realization of whether it be a race topic or whether it be the homosexuality topic, if one is to say that they don't understand, that should be the key thing that opens up to debate, to where if you want to educate someone, I must tell you that I don't understand in order for you to educate me. If I never tell you that I don't understand, then how are you ever going to educate me? So I don't feel like, what was your take on the Mike Wallace comments?
I'm not sure. Doesn't the word ignorance mean to not know?
That's what, yeah.
I mean,
to not know.
I mean, his comments, if you really want to go technical, his comments were ignorant, because he's telling you that he's ignorant to that fact, because he doesn't know a man can date another man, and there's so many gorgeous, beautiful women out here for him to choose. You know, I have no problem with it. He said he didn't know. He doesn't know. He doesn't understand that. He cannot grasp the concept of that. And me, I'm kind of the same way. I don't understand how that works. You know, like you brought up the science thing, you know, which I didn't know, and which is teaching me now that there's a chromosome that could possibly affect a man's sexual orientation. So with that being said, now I know something new, and I'm pretty sure that someone's going to teach him the same thing or tell him the same thing, and he'll know now, like, okay, well, maybe it's just not a decision he's making. It's something that's scientific or biologically going on here, or chemically that's going on in his brain that's making him attracted to men, you know?
Exactly.
So with him saying, I don't know, I don't see how that's, I mean, a problem. It's ignorant, because he's basically telling you, I don't know. Teach me.
If anything,
you know,
teach me, educate me on it. Don't ostracize me and call me a bad guy because I stated to you that I don't know.
I don't
guys,
know.
We're going to, We're going to head to a commercial, and then we're going to get into some football, because I know my viewers and listeners, my listeners want to hear football. We're bringing an important guy on the show after we come out to this commercial break. He has joined the Kansas City Chiefs. He is officially a Kansas City Chiefs as we speak. DB safety that's going to go and help the Kansas City Chiefs become the team that they're trying to get to. When I come back, stay tuned as I introduce this player to you, and we're going to hear his climb and his success that he wants for himself in the NFL as we go to this commercial break. Stay tuned here on The Tony Sands Show.
If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now.
Guys, welcome back here to the Tony Sands Show. As you heard my commercial, if you want the need for speed, you need to call 954-691-7804. But waiting on the phone, guys, is a guy that I wanted to interview once I heard that this guy signed a contract with the Kansas City Chiefs. This guy has made a name for himself in the Big 12 Conference. He is a dominant safety that has dominated the field throughout the Big 12. Welcome to the Tony Sands Show, Mr. Bradley McDougal, officially a Kansas City Chief. How you doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing pretty good, man. You know, I feel like, as I tell myself, I feel like you are a son away from a son, because you and my son were roommates at the University of Kansas, and now you are going to the Kansas City Chiefs with a to be taught up under a guy that I taught for 14 years how to become a great player in the NFL. You're being taught by my main man, my guy, Al Harris, who, like I told you, I trained this guy for 14 years. Now he's going to be able to give you that tutelage. What was your expectation? And walk me through, what was your expectation going through the draft?
Well, going through the draft, speaking with my agent, speaking with different teams, I really didn't know where I would land up or if I was going to be drafted a free agent. Ended up going the free agent route, which is fine by me. It just gives me more fuel to my fire. Just gives me another reason to work that much harder every day and improve my work once I get to a team. And so we end up, I mean, it was definitely a hectic 3 days sitting on pins and needles waiting on the call. And once everything was finalized and I sat back and looked at my options that I had in front of me, Kansas City just seemed like the best place to be for me.
And I tell people a lot, believe it or not, when you start going in from that fifth to that sixth to that seventh round, sometimes it's best to go as a free agent, because now you can pick the best situation that suits your type of skill set. You know, sometimes you can get put in a situation where all of a sudden you go to a team that has a lot of safeties, and all of a sudden now you're just a body at practice, and then you know at some point they're going to release you. You had time, as you stated, to sit back and look at your options and weigh your options. What were some of the things that you looked at that made Kansas City that fit for you?
Well, there's a couple of different things. First off, was the roster. That was the first thing we took a look at. You got Eric Berry and a great person like him. I could definitely learn a lot from him. And then working with Al Harris and building a relationship with him down at the East-West Shrine game that I played in. And speaking with my agent mostly, we looked at the Bills, and we looked at Cincinnati, and we looked at teams like that. Great teams, great programs, but the main thing was mostly, like you said, where do I fit in the best? I didn't want to be a body. And by the time the sixth round rolled around, it was even though it is your dream to get drafted and hear your name called, it's more business-minded and looking at it this way, I would rather, like you said, pick somewhere that fits me best, and I know I can come in and make an impact early rather than just getting my name called.
And the best thing about it, you don't have to go that far from where you played your college ball. So you still have that fan base that's going to follow you from Lawrence, Kansas, 30 minutes up to Arrowhead Stadium. What do you think that's going to be like? Because that fan base is going to follow you, because Kansas fans are Kansas City Chiefs fans, because that's that, as we call it, that road between that free and that slave state. That's that line that separates Kansas and Missouri. And now you're treading waters. Now you're going over here to the Missouri side of this thing, even though you are a Jayhawker. How does it feel to know that you are officially close to your dream?
It feels good. It feels good. It definitely gives me that much more motivation to just keep working. Like you said, once I put it on Twitter, my Twitter blew up immediately, and fans from not only Kansas but Missouri as well, they would let me know that even though we had our classes in college, you're a Kansas City Chief now, and so we're family. And it feels good. I went to class today and got a couple hand claps and a couple congratulations from people who I didn't even know anything about football, and they were telling me how proud they were of me, and that I'm going to their favorite team, and it just makes them that much happier that we have some more Jayhawks in the NFL.
And you said a mouthful, that people were clapping when you went to class. That makes you feel like all the work that you did doing two-a-days, all the work that you did in high school, all the work that you did in Little League, is finally within reach. All you got to do now is make that 52-man roster. You know that you got to get up there, and you got to, and as I told you, you got to stay in Al's ear. You got to make sure that you learn everything that you can from this man, because I'm going to tell you, he was no different than you. When I say no different, you got to figure, Tampa Bay let Al go, and they stated to him that he could not play in the league. He could not become that great elite shutdown corner in the league. So he understands where a young man like you is presently at and where a young man like you want to go. Listen to him, Brad, and I guarantee you he can make that dream become successful. And once you get in it, never stop working. Never stop working, man. It was a pleasure to have you here on the show, man. I hope you come down this summer and spend some time with your boy and let your boy teach you some of the things that I have taught several DBs that I have trained that's in the league now and that was in the league in their days and peaked. You continue to work hard, man, and continue to strive for your dreams. And it was a pleasure to have you here on the Tony Sands Show. And you tell those Jayhawkers in Jayhawk land that Tony Sands said, "What's up, man?"
You got it. I just want to say thank you for having me on the show and giving me the opportunity to let everybody know what's going on with my steps forward. And I most definitely will tell everybody Jayhawk land that you said, "Rock Chalk."
No problem, man. Hey, man, take it easy, man. Tell Al I said, "What's up?" Bibbs, I'm going to tell you, this young man was a heck of a player, man. I mean, he played the strong safety like it's supposed to be played. He never let up, man. And I love to see these type of dreams come true for young men like him. When you see a guy that's a free agent, what do you think the chances of them making a squad? And that's why I like what he said. He's glad he was a free agent. He had an opportunity to pick where he wanted to go. Do you see it as being a tough road for a young man like him, or do you feel that a young man like him is the type of stories that America is made up of?
I definitely think it'll be difficult for him, you know, with the NFL and so many different, you know, bodies that are coming into camp, you know, in different positions, in different situations, you know. But at the end of the day, I really feel like that's just more motivation for this young man to get out there and make that 53-man roster, you know. He wasn't drafted, like you said. He actually, like you said, it is better for him to go in as a free agent as opposed to him being drafted into a situation that wouldn't suit him. You know, with him being able to pick and choose the place where he can go in and possibly become a player, or you know, bring in some attributes to that particular roster, I think that suits him better. And I definitely think that I actually got a chance to actually see that young man play, you know, against the University of Texas, and he's a player. And
he can play.
He comes out and he plays like he played against them. all right, throughout this season, he definitely he have opportunity to play in the NFL, make that roster. If not this year, definitely he'll make it, you know, sometime in the near future, maybe next year, you know, but I could see him playing this year, you know, and like you said, like you asked, is that, you know, better for him? I definitely think it is better for him, and I definitely think that he'll be more successful the route that he's going right now.
Exactly. Guys, I'm going to tell you, and we're going to go to a commercial break. Before we go to the commercial break, we're going to talk Geno Smith and the criticism that he's gotten within the last couple of days of the draft. Is it fair what the media is doing to Geno Smith? I want you to remember these two names, Eli Manning and John Elway. Let's go to a commercial.
Ladies, whether you're trying to look good for that special someone, or you're Miss Independent and you just want to look good for yourself, listen, you need to scratch where you've been going, cause sensational is where you need to be. Where they specialize in shortcuts, weaves, sew-ins and wraps and so forth. At Sensational Beauty Salon, it's guaranteed that they'll have you looking. For an appointment, call 954-786-3997. That's 954-786-3997. Located at 801 South Dixie Highway, Suite 5 in Cypress. Commercial brought to you by Focus and Dirty B.
Already written, I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Praise in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
We're back here on the Tony Sands Show. We're gonna talk. As I left you guys, I gave you two names of mention, Eli Manning and John Elway. Eli Manning and John Elway. Do you remember, Bibbs, the things that happened with Eli Manning when he was drafted?
Yeah, he was drafted. He was drafted by the San Diego Chargers.
Correct.
If I'm not mistaken. And with his father being, you know, NFL player also, I don't want my son to play for the San Diego Chargers with the team that they had, and, you know, basically saying that his career would be ruined by going to a team that was so bad at the time. And so he just basically said, I didn't want to play there. And they ended up trading him to the New York Giants. And that's how the San Diego Chargers ended up with Phillip Rivers.
Exactly. He stated that he would not play for the San Diego Chargers. He was a San Diego Charger for 45 minutes up until the Giants selected, and then they made the switch. But let's listen to the soundbite, because I want people to understand this soundbite here and listen how they're criticizing Geno Smith, but yet and still Eli Manning never got this type of criticism, and he spoke out more than what they would say, the little things that Geno Smith did. Let's listen to this.
Eli Manning for Phillip Rivers.
That was the ultimate game of cat and mouse. Ernie, of course, the general manager of the Giants, knew he wanted Eli Manning. But A.J. Smith, who was running the draft for the Chargers, also knew that if he held out for a long time, that he was going to get the best deal he could.
With the first choice in the 2004 NFL draft, the San Diego Chargers select Eli Manning, cornerback, Mississippi.
The Chargers had one problem. Eli wasn't interested in playing for San Diego, so Giants GM Ernie Accorsi got his quarterback.
The San Diego Chargers and the New York Giants have exchanged their draft picks, Eli Manning and Phillip Rivers.
Eli Manning's become...
As you heard there, they exchange draft picks. But now they're saying, they're talking about, this is some of the things that they're saying that annoyed, I guess, GMs about Geno Smith in an article. All, and they say two sources told Cole, and Cole is the guy that wrote this article, that Smith was on a pre-draft visit. He spent too much time on the phone, texting friends, or reading Twitter. All these other players were there talking to coaches, trying to get to know people, and was over there, and he was over there by himself. Now, you tell me, those are some things that you would say would drop a guy's draft stock all the way from the first round to being the number one quarterback all the way down to being in the second round? And that's justifiable, but yet you got a guy that tells you blatantly, I'm not going to play for that team. And you switch draft choices? Now, if that was a Geno Smith, a RG3, or what's my man at Carolina?
Cam Newton.
Cam Newton. What you think, how you think the media would have treated them?
You know, well, this was a different type of draft as far as the quarterback was concerned. The quarterbacks were not rated very high in this draft. With the 2013 draft, as opposed to drafts with, you know, RG3 and Andrew Luck, Ryan Tannehill, you know, they were not rated as high. Geno Smith and, you know, Matt Barkley and the quarterbacks coming out of this year's draft. So they didn't have as much leverage, I would say, as they might have had in the past. And which is why I believe Geno was probably dropped down to the second round as he did, you know. Like we said with him, you know, in the meeting up with the coaches in the you know, front offices and I guess texting and kind of being antisocial, almost as if he didn't want to be there. If that was a GM or, you know, an executive in the front office, that would probably raise a red flag in my head. Also, this is your dream. You want to be an NFL quarterback. You want us to draft you to our team in the first round, and you act like you don't want to come in and get to know the staff and the front office, the executives, you know, other players, then I probably wouldn't have drafted you neither, especially with you not being rated as high as your quarterbacks in the past.
But now, but like we said, this guy, now at one point, Geno was looked at the possibly gold as the number three pick, as high as the number three pick in this draft, as being the number one quarterback. But now you tell me, and knowing this young man, I do know this young man. I know the young man's coach, high school coach. One thing about it, Damian Cogdale taught this young man some values, and he come from a value background. Now, is he a guy that's confident? Yeah. Geno is a guy that has a lot of confidence, but what quarterback don't? But then I look at also now, let's take it back to Cam Newton. There were criticisms about Cam Newton. There were criticisms about RG3. Now, let's look at RG3 and let's look at Cam Newton. Let's look at the high they went. If either one of these guys has stated that they did not want to play for the team that drafted them before the draft took place, do you think that would have affected their draft status?
That's a tough question.
It would have had to. I guarantee you. If one, you got to figure one of the quarterbacks would consider they called him dumb because he didn't do well on the Wonderlic test.
Right.
If you look at the last couple drafts before that, there were quarterbacks that went before these guys that you never heard any comment that were high draft picks, but they scrutinized certain quarterbacks, and I think. I find that to be a problem because I'm looking at John Elway told you the same thing. That's why he didn't sign with the Colts.
Right.
Who decides which guys get power and which guys don't?
I don't want to take this to the color barrier.
I know that's, but it is, but sometimes it black and white is black and white.
Black and white is black and white, exactly. And, you know, with those, Eli Manning did this, and you know, John Elway did the same thing. It was, you know, years ago, but still,
correct.
They still ended up getting to where the team they wanted, and they didn't get scrutinized as much as I would say Cam Newton got scrutinized, or now with Geno Smith being scrutinized. You know, it's race is a factor. Race plays a factor, and it's I believe, you know, and you just like the topic we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Race is race, and people. You know, they judge you off of your skin, the color of your skin. And that's why I feel like he probably was scrutinized a little bit tougher than, you know, people in the past.
But my question is, should that be? Why are these young men being so scrutinized and you allow one guy to dictate how your draft is going to go. But these young men, if they was to come out and say that they're cocky, they have no place playing in the NFL, who they think they are, these are some of the comments that are made when these guys speak out. When these guys speak out, but when the other guys speak out, they consider themselves as confident. They're leaders. That's what they say. Those are leadership qualities. But these black quarterbacks, or these minority quarterbacks, I'm going to say minority quarterbacks because we have a lot of, you know, quarterbacks that are just not black, but they are minority race. These guys seem to get the pressure more than any other position. Because I guess, I don't know, it boils back to the gay topic. Is America truly ready for the black quarterback to lead the NFL to the next generation? That's a question that, and a topic that needs to be discussed. Needs to be discussed. Bib, we got a minute. We got a minute left. My engineer is tapping. We got a minute left here in the show, man. We had a great show. People, I'm going to leave you out to listen to my leading song because it speaks so much about this generation. Don't judge no one. Let God be your judge, and he will take care of everything. Guys, it was great talking to you here on the Tony Sands Show. Me and Bibbs are going to leave you until next Wednesday as we continue to bring you the hottest topics in sports. Stay tuned next week as we bring you the Tony Sands Show.
Already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raising the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.